This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We have a shipping guy on the Breakfast Grill today. Nazri Khalid is the Honorary Secretary of the Association of Marine Industries of Malaysia, or AMIM. He is also Head of Planning and Development with Bausted Heavy Industries Corporation, and he was a Senior Fellow at the Maritime Institute of Malaysia, which is a think tank for the shipping industry. And he has basically spent about 15 years in the shipping industry, as well as the financial industry, I believe. We are going to talk about the Malaysian Shipping Master Plan today and the problems that the shipping sector is facing. Nazri, good morning. In dissecting the problems of the shipping industry, I guess the Malaysian Shipping Master Plan was kind of foisted upon us in newspaper headlines. We didn't even hear this being talked about before. And you're a supporter of this. In fact, a lot of your input went into the formulation of the wording of the Master Plan. What does the MSMP want to achieve, and why does the country need it?
Yeah, this master plan has been sporadically mentioned by especially the Minister of Transport, Dr. Sri Liao, which I believe has not been officially announced in a big way as most master plans are normally announced in this country. But essentially what this master plan intends to do is to come up with a strategic roadmap, if you may, to provide some kind of a compass for the growth and development of the shipping industry, which is so crucial to Malaysia's trade. 95% of our trade is carried by ships, and shipping is very essential to facilitate exploration and production of offshore oil and gas, which contributes close to about 20% of our economy. So in that context, shipping is so important, and it's just so crucial. It's really the backbone of Malaysia's economy.
But it's also an industry that has lasted for a very long time. And why now? Why formulate a policy for the shipping industry right now? And by the way, is this plan implemented already?
No, because it's not officially announced. To a certain extent, the industry is already well organized to a certain extent, because it is not an industry which is left to its own device. There's even an international body, which is a United Nations agency called International Maritime Organization, that comes up with international conventions, protocols, and codes of conduct for players in the shipping industry in terms of navigation safety, security, emissions, environmental protection, and so on.
Now, we've had a chance to look at some of the wordings of the MSMP. There are a lot of words in it: efficient network, self-sufficiency, accessibility, including cabotage policy, which we will cover, and so on. And some of the achievements that are mentioned include enhanced efficiency and competitiveness, and so on. There is this feeling that after looking at all these words, it's really all about protecting a very inefficient industry. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah. You're spot on, Julian, because I think this is especially against a backdrop of the prolonged global recession, which has really hit shipping players in Malaysia very, very hard. Not just in Malaysia, but also around the world. They are now facing a very very crucial moment of it's almost a do or die now to many of them. As a matter of fact, in the last couple of years, we have seen several big names in Malaysia's shipping industry, struggling and also having to contend with overcapacity, not having enough cargo to carry or work to do for their support vessels, and even some big names have even fallen on the wayside. Having to seek protection against bankruptcy, some have dropped out from being delisted from Bursa, and so on. So
and on that front, Dana Kapal is a fund, 2 billion ringgit is they're asking for as a start. I hear from the Malaysian Shipowners Association chairman, Noreen Mat Yusof, he's asking for an initial fund size of 2 billion. Does this not smack of bailouts? And why do we need a master plan? And why do we need a Dana Kapal to save the shipping industry?
Well, I suppose in the same way that we needed a Dana Harta to help save some of the struggling entities.
I'm not saying that I would agree with Dana Harta, but I believe that Dana Harta was set up to protect the integrity of the financial system and avoiding a financial collapse. Mm. If the shipping industry collapses, what harm would that do to Malaysians?
Well, I'm quite neutral about this because being an ardent believer, being an ex-banker and ex-stockbroker and being an ardent believer of the free market, I do believe that to a certain extent, the market should be left to its own device. I mean, let the market forces reign supreme. But on the other hand, for industry which is so crucial, which has a tremendous strategic implication to the country, like shipping, again, I cannot emphasize this enough. 95% of our trade is carried by ships. And we were to continue to rely on foreign ships as we do today, which has caused quite a hole in our wallet in terms of our balance of payment, which is ballooning year after year. In fact, year after year, reaching record proportions. One cannot help but wonder whether this really is needed at this point in time. Because if you look at other countries, you know, some use it bailout, some use the term financial assistance from the government. I think it's almost warranted that some assistance is extended to struggling shipping companies, because otherwise, 100% of our trade will be carried by ships. And if the foreign shipping companies, for whatever reason, decide not to call at our ports, our trade will be stuck at our ports and we will not be able to import the stuff that we need. So that can have quite a dramatic repercussion to the country.
Apart from the bailout aspects of what we talked about as far as this shipping master plan is concerned, since you were involved in formulating some of the points for the master plan, what are some of the other salient features of the plan, like concrete stuff that you want to implement?
Well, essentially, the vision of this master plan is to make sure to help Malaysia attain a sustainability as a shipping nation. And become a major player in selected shipping markets because shipping really, as I mentioned, is a backbone of the economy and also has the potential to contribute greater to the GDP and also to help attain the aspiration of a new economic model of making Malaysia a developed country by 2020 through creating high-income, value-adding, innovation-driven activities. So to that extent, the focus is not just in terms of ensuring that we have adequacy in national tonnage. In other words, we have enough capacity to carry our own trade and also to undertake works in our own waters, like to facilitate the offshore oil and gas industry, but also to develop the to take care of the welfare of the seafarers, which are to me the unsung heroes of the world trade. We hardly think about them unless we hear news that some poor seafarers got kidnapped by pirates and so on, and also to uplift the level of technology, the efficiency, and many other aspects, because all this should come hand in hand with increasing our national shipping capacity.
On the Breakfast Grill today is Nazri Khalid, Honorary Secretary of the Association of Marine Industries of Malaysia. We're talking about the challenges that the shipping industry in Malaysia faces. And on that front, the industry is trying to launch the Malaysian Shipping Master Plan. This is what we are mainly talking about today, Nazri. One of the legacy policies in the shipping industry is this thing called the cabotage. And very simply, the cabotage is the requirement for mandatory usage of Malaysian ships when you send goods within Malaysia. Is this a good policy?
For the novices, cabotage policy essentially is a policy that is designated to protect the interest of local shipping companies to carry cargo from one domestic port to another, which is not different from airline industry. Only a local domestic airline can carry passengers from one domestic airport to another. Essentially, it is a policy which has been attributed to the tremendous growth of Malaysia's shipping tonnage, especially in the period of the 80s and 90s, when within that period, Malaysian shipping national shipping capacity increased close to about 700%. And it was attributed to the protection accorded by cabotage policy.
Now, so Nazri, I find you a very interesting person, because earlier on you said that you are a supporter of free market policies, and yet you are in this band of people who actually want some degree of protection in that industry. How do you reconcile those feelings? Because going back to this cabotage, It is raising the ire of many Malaysians, especially East Malaysians, because the stuff there costs 30% more than what you would pay in Peninsula because of this cabotage policy. And it's also putting a lot of viable enterprises and businesses out of business over there. So how do your free market sentiments sit in with this kind of policy?
Okay, I might have sound contradictory, but cabotage is, believe it or not, a policy which is exempted from WTO negotiation. So actually, nations are free to impose cabotage policy. And believe it or not, Julian, the biggest culprit in terms of protectionism in shipping is actually the big Uncle Sam, which is the bastion of a free market.
The WTO is a document of compromise, right? It's not exactly a believer of free market principles like you are.
Personally, I feel that there shouldn't be any degree of protectionism, especially if a protectionist policy results in distortion of market prices and protection of inefficient players, and also the denial of efficient players to actually grow their business. But at the same time, there's not much we can do about the fact that WTO, of cabotage is freely implemented. If I were to be the king of the world, I would probably dismantle this policy.
Could you put in one or two words to that effect in the shipping master plan, for instance? If you ask consumers whether they want to subsidize the shipping industry, what do you think they would say?
Okay, first let me highlight to for the benefit of the listeners, this the discussion about cabotage policy has been quite a hot potato. I mean, we have been seeing a lot of heated discussion between the shipping community and also the manufacturers in Sabah and Sarawak, for example, who blame the imposition of cabotage policy for the very high prices of goods and services there. But it is also very important to note that shipping actually is one of many contributing costs to the final prices of Milo that you pay, and also the nappies that you pay, and so on. There are many other sources that cause to the distortion and also the high price of goods and services.
And not to mention the price inequality between West and East Malaysia.
Not to mention the trade inequality, because if you were to assume that Peninsula Malaysia and Sabah are two different countries, there is a trade imbalance in favour of Semenanjung Malaysia, because Sabah and Sarawak need more. And also, the nature of shipping is such that most of our imports go through Port Klang and major ports in Peninsula Malaysia before they are being feeded to smaller ports, because the kind of ships, for example, the container ships, the big ships cannot call at ports in Sabah and Sarawak, and there are no direct service from countries, for example, in Far East and also in Europe, straight to Sabah and Sarawak ports, because the facilities of the ports are not capable to handle the big ships, and also the trade, there's not enough cargo generated for the ships to haul back. So unfortunately, this is almost cast in stone, and this partly contributes to it in addition to cabotage. Yes, I agree, cabotage needs to be addressed. Maybe the imposition of cabotage shouldn't be too liberal in Malaysia, whereby the Minister of Transport, through domestic shipping licensing board, is always very liberal in its interpretation of cabotage. But at the same time, we have to acknowledge that the local shipping companies do not have the adequate shipping capacity to carry most of their own trade.
Nazri, you wrote many words into the master plan. Are there some words to the effect that the umbilical cord needs to be cut off? Is there a timeline where the shipping industry would be free of subsidies and some kind of lifeline from the nation?
Well, I think we need to go back to what are the contributing factors to Malaysia's rapid growth in shipping. And we need to protect whatever works and maybe dismantle what doesn't work. I think certainly what has worked, for example, in terms of provision of funds, competitive, adequate funds for local shipping companies to buy ships and also to upgrade their ships should be there, because it is not a coincidence that some of the world's top shipping nations like Korea, Germany and so on always have a very well-defined and also a very generous availability of domestic financing for local shipping companies. So I think the financing part is very important.
On that note, we just have to highlight that there had been many policy frameworks over the years in the auto sector as far as Malaysia Airlines is concerned. Right. Because when you look at policies to set up Proton and policies to keep Malaysian Airlines on some kind of life support, it's the same thing. something going to happen to the shipping sector where the country's stakeholders need to continue to bail out the shipping industry? And in connection to that, a very much more philosophical and I guess spiritual question for the shipping industry. Do we need a domestic shipping industry? Why is that needed?
That's an interesting question because, you know, economics will dictate that you don't have to produce everything that you need. Like, if other people do it better, then so be it.
Exactly.
You know, maybe that I think even the industry may be in two minds about it. I think there's probably a minority camp that seems to be saying, look, I mean, we don't need to invest so much in ships when, you know, the needs of the nation, the shipping needs of the nation can be adequately served by foreign shipping companies. But I think on the other hand, and this I would say is an overwhelming view, is that they fear that if you know, we don't nurture the capability of our own people in shipping, then we'll until forever and perpetually we will be depending on foreign services, and that could have
well,
many implications.
If they can offer those services cheaply, yeah, because we are, as you say, open to free market competition, and also why nurture shipping at the expense of other industries, for example, the newer disruptive and more innovative industries. More money in the consumers' pockets allow them to have higher income, let's say a bigger wallet, right, size, and focus on other things. Do we really need a domestic shipping industry? Do we really need a Proton? Do we really need a Malaysia Airlines? What is your view?
Well, I can only say from the shipping perspective, you know, obviously a country which is so a country with long coastline like Malaysia and sits in the very important sea lanes like Malacca Straits and also South China Sea, and which extracts almost all of its hydrocarbon riches from the sea, would definitely need shipping. Again, like I said, it's almost like the lifeblood of the nation. And I'll be damned if we as Malaysians don't try to at least wrestle some decent market share out of this.
So on the one hand, there is that development of the industry and its positive impacts on employment. And then there is, on the other hand, the taxpayer. In this struggle between employment generation and taxpayers' money and consumption money, right? Yeah. Who do you think will win out?
Well, as it is, the government has been quite generous when it comes to shipping, believe it or not. Under the Income Tax Act, there is shipping income from Malaysian registered ships are exempted from tax, and also income from seafarers working on board of Malaysian ships. So if you think you're paying too much tax, maybe we should all go work on a Malaysian registered vessel, because our take-home pay will be 100% and zero tax income. But still, it has, of course, according to the shipping community, not enough to help. So what they need is, again, a bit of a crutch to help them survive this harrowing times out there. It really is a bloodbath out there, Julian. I mean, shipping companies are, you know, closing shop and so on. So the national tonnage is depleting quite dramatically. And, you know, if depending on who you listen to, if you don't do something about it, then things will just fester and the wound will become deeper and worse. On the other hand, you know, it's probably, you know, those who are ardent fans of free market will say, so let the inefficient ones fall on the wayside. So,
yeah, you know. So we are ardent fans of not having to pay too much for our goods. Connected to your point about the volumes at our ports, is there some wording in the master plan to the effect of rejuvenating the lights of Tanjung Pelepas, Klang, and the ports in Penang, and even the ports in East Malaysia?
To a certain extent, the ports, our Malaysian ports, we have amid us some of the most competitive ports in the region, and also with the world-class facilities. West ports and North port, they've got the most modern and most efficient cranes, and they've got a super high productivity efficiency level. PTP is one of the top transshipment ports in the world. As a matter of fact, these two ports, Port Klang and Port of Tanjung Pelepas, are always consistently listed in the top 20 busiest ports in the world. But at the same time, there's a symbiotic relationship between shipping and ports. Ports cannot be successful without shipping and vice versa. So for Malaysia to already have good ports, it would be complementary for us to also have shipping companies of international class, probably with the size of the likes of Maersk and all the other big shipping companies and so on. to call our home ports as their home base and help flourish both sides of the equation.
In the quest to also make shipping companies and the shipping industry more profitable, should there be some focus on, for example, shipbuilding and ship repair? Or maybe Malaysia has a very big oil and gas focus. Could those be areas to focus on rather than just a broad brush of the entire shipping sector?
Again, we're looking at examples of countries like Japan and Korea, for example, which to me are the two gold standards when it comes to developing their marine industry, which comprises of shipping, port operations, and also shipbuilding, ship repairing. All these three sectors within the industry called the marine industry have flourished over the years in these two countries because they were developed hand in hand. So what that means is that in the plan to develop the shipping sector, they took into account the needs of the ports and the future developments and also the shipbuilding part of it. Not for nothing that Korea emerged as the world's largest shipbuilding nation in terms of tonnage, which only was superseded by China in the last couple of years.
So should we specialize?
We have actually. The shipbuilding industry, for example, in Malaysia is benefiting from having a master plan of its own called the Malaysian Shipbuilding Ship Repair Industry Master Plan 2020 or SBSR 2020, which specifically targets Malaysia to become a major builder of ships in the small to medium class category, which is 120 meters and below, specifically focusing on the offshore support services, which helps facilitate the offshore oil and gas industry. So you're right about specialization. The days of, the jack of all trades have gone the way of the dodo bird, you know.
But then the oil
price, survive.
The very volatile oil price, that would be a spoiler to some kind of a long-term policy, right?
That has been a bit of, putting a wet blanket over the whole thing. And so I think it's also a lesson well learned because people were just basically, putting all the money on one particular horse, which is this OSV sector. And I think now a lot of the yards are stuck with the same kind of vessels, which they were building on speculation on account of a strong demand. But now, they woke up one morning, oil price, headed south, and everyone is stuck with the same kind of vessel that is not in requirement now. So a lot of the vessels are laid up. Many, were even sent straight to the scrap yards to be broken down immediately after they were. And not to mention also that a lot of owners cancel their orders. So I think we need to take a deep breath and really take a hard, long look at ourselves, whether we want to become good at everything or just focus on the right thing, which is what I would think that the master plan will eventually do.
Is the shipping industry ripe for some kind of Uberization or AirAsiaization in the form of just a disruptor coming into the market and really liberating prices for consumers?
Well, in the mortal words of the late, great Muhammad Ali, if your mind can conceive it, then you can achieve it. I guess, once upon a time, we never thought that Uber would have even been possible. But who knows, maybe some kind of a shipping arrangement, which is different from what it is today. And I believe that the current bloodbath is actually, in a way, good for the shipping industry because it will provide some kind of a welcoming disruptive force, which can really shake the industry down to its roots. Because there's a lot of things which work about the industry. There's a lot of things which have been proven to not be working now. So I think the players need to take a good long look at themselves and maybe assess their strategies and look at the current arrangements, for example, in terms of capacity, slot sharing, the so-called shipping conferences, as long as they don't flout the law of competition or antitrust and so on. So there's something positive to take out from this negativity that is prevailing in the industry.
Thank you so much for your time. And that was Nazri Khalid, Honorary Secretary of the Association of Marine Industries of Malaysia, talking to us about the hopes and challenges of the shipping industry. And I wish you a safe harbour to safer shores, to more profitable shores. Thank you for joining us on The Breakfast Grill. I'm Julian Ng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.